think we've demonstrated a little bit of what was in my heart. Well, even as the presence of God was here, there's something. You know, there's something about hungry people. We've been talking what it means to be hungry. There's a difference between hunger and desperate. Desperate people will eat anything, even garbage. But it's desperate. But hungry people have something in mind and a yearning and a deep desire which motivates them to move forward. And we shared that from Proverbs last week about hungry people will use their motivation to guide and push them to achieve and go to places. Hungry people are not people that just have wishes and desires and, oh, I want to be better. You know, because that's sort of a stupid thing sometimes. You know, who doesn't want to be better? But hungry people are willing to do what it takes to get better. As opposed, you know, everyone wants this, but yeah, you know, we all want to walk in the favor of God like Brother Jerry. But are we hungry for it? And hungry doesn't mean, oh yes, I desire it, I want it, I like that. It's no, I am you gonna feed and do what I need to. And I wanna tell you, so there's a characteristic of hungry people, and this is how best I can put it, you know. Hungry people, when offered something that is a plateau, you know, and on the way but not there, they say thank you but no thank you. If you're given an opportunity to settle partway, even sometimes a good thing, even a God type thing, and I'll explain in a minute, hungry people say thank you but no thank you. I'm not going to rest there because and all through the New Testament, all through, you know, even the some of the things in the Old Testament, that there was opportunities at times when Jesus was ministering, he seemed to really gravitate and get a lot of joy out of the people that did things outside of what everyone else was expecting and took it to a new level. He sort of got excited about that. And that's something I've really got to work towards and work on in my life, because I like to be the one that's, you know, following the rules and doing the right thing and, you know, not what's the way? I don't want to put myself forward. I don't want to be pushing, you know, I'm not the pushy one. The thought of pushing is like, oh. If I walk into a room and all the seats are taken, I'll just sit at the back. You know, and I don't want to make a stir, and I don't want to bring any attention to myself. But Jesus seemed to delight in the people that took a step. So when he's walking on the water, one of the disciples said, "Hey, Jesus, is that you? Tell me to come." And I'm like, why? Jesus, not, you know, this is not a prayer for God. Help me to heal the sick. God, help me to win the lost. Help me to be a servant for you. It's just I want to do the fun stuff like you're doing it. I'm like, there's really no reason for that. But you know what Jesus said? Come. You want to join me out here? Yeah. But the invitation didn't go to the other 11. Just the one that said, can I come? Everyone else stayed in the boat, but one got to walk on water. And we know that he looked around and fear came on him and he began to sink, and Jesus had to grab him. He said, "Oh, Peter, why was your faith just? Why did you just have a short burst of faith? Why was your little faith? You should have gone the whole way. But that was, you could have gone all the way." And the woman with the issue of blood pushing through the crowd, she shouldn't have been there. And Jesus was actually on the way, had a mission to go and heal the synagogue ruler's daughter. He was actually on his way to do something. She interrupted him in his mission. Oh, that's to me like, no, 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 no. And she grabbed the hem of his garment and healing power, and he turned around. Who was it? And he said, "What, no, woman, go. The Syrophoenician woman coming to the disciples and say, "Please, I want my daughter to be healed. She's cruelly demon-possessed." And the disciples saying, "Go away." And Jesus was silent. But she kept following them. And eventually, he was able to minister to her. And he says, "Oh, woman, your faith is great. Go and you're healing." He seemed to delight in people that went out of the boundaries. You know, he's in a room and they're ripping the roof off. He doesn't say, what in the world are you doing? There's a perfectly good line outside that you can join. You have not only ignored that, but you've jumped to the front. How does everyone else feel? You know, should we go and ask everyone else how they feel? He goes, seeing their faith. Begins to minister. He liked those that pushed the boundaries and said, and I think hunger, there's a part of that says, hunger says thank you, but no thank you. You know, the Roman centurion who was coming to his house, he said, you don't need to come. Imagine telling Jesus, I know you're coming, but I've got a better way. That's really what he said to Jesus. I know what you're doing, but I think I can do it. I think we can do this better. Appreciate you coming, and I appreciate that's how you've done everyone else. I know with the synagogue ruler, he said, please come, lay your hands, come to my house. My daughter's at the point of death. Come. And he says, all right, I'll come. And he's coming. And the Roman centurion says, yeah, I know that's what you do, but I think we can do this better. And Jesus didn't say, take note of this Gentile who is so rude and arrogant that he would presume to tell me, the Messiah, how to do things. Typical Roman. Typical centurion. They think they can boss everybody around. Here he is trying to boss me around now. What did Jesus say? Oh, I haven't found faith like this anywhere. Look, this guy gets it. This guy gets it better than everybody. I really like this guy. He gets it. So instead of getting a rebuke, he gets I like this faith. I like this faith. And I believe that there often comes opportunities to settle at a place that you don't realize is a settle. You think it's the top, but it's actually a plateau, not where God wants you to be. There's more, but because you've gone up and then there's a little ledge, you've embraced the ledge, not realizing there's more. And you're higher than where you could have been, but you're not exactly where you could be. Do you understand? You're higher than you have been. And I think sometimes things come in and people think, okay, this is my place to settle, not realizing that even sometimes it feels sometimes like that's where God would want me to be. But God just says, I wish they showed some hunger and said, thank you, but no thank you. I want to go higher. Thank you, but I want more. Thank you, I want to go higher. You know, when Moses came down from the mountain, and whilst he's up there, the people of Israel showing their great faith and commitment, said, where's Moses? He's been gone for a little while. We better make ourselves an idol to lead ourselves out here. And they said, Aaron, come on. Moses is gone to who knows where. We're left out here in the wilderness. We need something. So Aaron says, bring me all your earrings and your gold and we'll throw them in. And look, out comes a calf. Let's worship it. The calf that will lead us through. And they're having a time of celebration and they come down, Moses and Joshua. And Joshua says, the sound of war. And Moses, that's not war. Something worse. And he comes and they're celebrating and Moses is mad and God is very mad. And God's like, you know, we've got a problem here. This people is stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. They just want to do their own thing. He said, I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're still going to go forward with the plan. Say, thank God we're still going forward. We're still moving. We can still go. God says, I've got a plan. I've got a way for you. He says, I've got Moses, I'll tell you what I'm going to do because I can't be amongst the people anymore because I think I'll kill them. That's pretty much what he said. I don't think I can go in amongst you anymore because I think I'm going to kill these people. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I've got a plan. You go, thank God for a plan. You're still going to go into the promised land. Thank God we're still going to the promised land through the wilderness. He said, what are we going to do? God says, I'm going to send my angel. All right, so let's look at Exodus 33. Sounds like a good plan. You know what hungry people will say? They say thank you, but no thank you. Because that sounds like a good plan. If you go back to chapter 32, verse 34, it says, But go now, lead the people where I told you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. And look at verse 1 of chapter 33. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So to your descendants I will give it." It sounds good. "And I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey." Oh, that sounds good. We make that into a plaque. It's going on the fridge. We have our plan. God is good. Amen. We're still going, people. This is good. But what do hungry people say? "Thank you, but no thank you." Why? Because hungry people have a taste for what God could do, not just the plateau of what we offered. You know, we could settle here, and it's going to be good, but that's not, I'm hungry. I don't want this. I don't want what could happen. I want what God has got on his heart. And sometimes the thing that God has on his heart is hidden. It's not obvious there. Like, he didn't say to the Roman centurion when he said, Roman centurion sent a delegation, said, "Come to my home." He did not send a message back and says, "Hey, just tell him there's a better way. I don't have to come." He didn't tell him that there was a better way. He never mentioned that better way. The Roman centurion came up with that. But do you think Jesus is like, "Oh, I never thought of that. If only I'd thought of that, we could have been doing it different the whole time." He's like, "Ah." So Jesus would have known about that way. He would have known that there was a better way, but he never mentioned it. He let the hunger find it, and then we discover that's what he wanted all along. Yeah. I love this way. I love what this person's doing. I love the understanding of authority he has. This is really good. But it's not their easy picking. It's as if God's like, "Yeah, hungry people will get this, but others will just settle for what's in front of them. What looks like normal Christianity and the way of being my child. And it sounds good, and there's got a lot of promise." You know, if you took those first few verses, Exodus 33, you could make your life and say, "This is what God wanted," but not realize there was more. Because he said, "Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, because you're an obstinate people, lest I destroy you on the way." And it was actually when the people heard this sad word. What's sad about it? Going to send an angel. So Moses, verse 7, Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. He used to set up a place outside the camp where everyone else to watch, and he called it the tent of meeting. And it came about that everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. It came about whenever Moses went out to the tent that all the people would arise and stand each at the entrance of his tent and gaze after Moses till he entered the tent. And it came about whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship each at the entrance of his tent. And thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Just as two humans having conversation, that literally means. Just as like two people having a chat. That's how God used to speak with Moses. Just like two people talking together. And when Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man, he wouldn't depart from the tent. He said, "I'm getting everything I can." Hungry people. Hungry people. Then Moses said to the Lord, this is Moses. What's Moses? What are hungry people? Say, "Thank you, but no thank you." Why are we saying thank you, no thank you? Because we're hungry for more. Thank you, I'm hungry. That's nice, but actually.
Yeah, come on.
Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you do say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you've also, talking to Moses, you said, I found favor in your sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that can I know you? I'm hungry, that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And this is God's answer, verse 14. God said, okay, he understood what Moses was saying. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Moses said, because I'm saying, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us from here. Thanks for the offer of the angel, but no thanks. Thanks for the offer of the angel, but no thanks. I want you. Lord, I want it to be you and your glory. I want your favor to be upon us. I want your presence to be what's in us. We don't want to just be known as the people that are God's people. We want to be known as the people of God because you're in us and amongst us. I don't want just a tag, but I need you in us. I just don't want to be known as God's people. We want the presence of God to define us. All right? But God would have allowed them to settle on this plateau and said, okay, that's enough. It'll get us victory. It'll get us through, but it won't be the same. Moses knew that. He's hungry. He said, no, I don't want that. I want you there, God, amongst it. I want to be right in the middle of you. I want you. For then, if you're not with us, how can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by you going with us? So that we and the people may be distinguished from all the other people among the face of the earth. God, I'm not just happy to have good things and have some breakthroughs. It's actually the fact that you are in my life. That you and me are connected and full on relationship. That's the part that I want people to know the difference by. Not just the fact that I've got good things and I'm doing well and I've got a good job and I've got a good church and I read my Bible. No, I want you right in the middle of it all. I'm not this sort of life where I can get by and we can be good Christians and I can be, and a lot of other people would look and say, he's a great Christian. I don't want people to say he's a great Christian. I want to say, look at God working in him. Look how close he is to God. Not, oh, wow, he's got some miracles and he's doing well and he's got favor. No, I want them to see that as a reflection of something more. I got God. And I'm not happy just to be doing good Christian stuff, God. I want to know you. I want to know your ways. Like Moses said, if I know you and if I know your ways, that's what I'm hungry for. That's what I'm hungry for. And then Moses said in verse 18, I pray, show me your glory. Yeah. That's where this prayer comes from. That's where this desire, this prayer was, God, I am hungry for you. But it wasn't a hunger to say, some people say, show me your glory. They want to say, I want to see some miraculous stuff. I want to see some big things happen. I want to see some amazing. It was deeper than that. Yeah. It was, God, show me your glory is, I just want you. Yeah, I don't want anything else, but... to be living in that. And that's, God is looking for that hunger. Yeah. He rewards that hunger. He's like, yeah. Come on. He says, I'll show you. And to be honest, he showed him as much as he could show him in the Old Testament position that he was in. He said, I have to cover you. I'm going to walk by and you're going to see my goodness and you're going to see my power. It's all going to pass by you and you will know that. And it said, when Moses used to see the glory of God, he'd come out and the glory, his face would shine, it literally said. And then it would begin to fade. And it said he would put a veil over his face. And Paul, speaking to the Corinthian church, said, he used to put a veil over to show the fact that it was that glow was dissipating. Because for him, you have to go and stand in the presence. To renew it, to refresh it, to get a fresh burst. You know what I mean? And then as you walk... dissipate. So they put a veil so they couldn't see the dissipation. He said, but you know what? We have something different here. Yeah. He said, we're going from glory to glory to glory. I don't get a burst and dissipate. I get connected to the source. And that's what I don't want to. I don't want to come to church as my get a refill. Yeah. I want to. This is where I connect with others that are connected to the source. Yeah. And together we're just shining pretty bright here. And what God's done in me is bouncing off everyone else. But it's the glory connected to me. But I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry. This all seems to be Moses driven. Do you understand that? This is not God saying, I've got a plan for you. God said, I'll lay out the plan. The plan is for an angel, so I don't destroy you. Moses come and says, thank you, but I've got another plan. Excuse me. If God's got a plan, that's the best plan, right? But there's a hunger factor that connects with what God is really wanting. Yeah. Did he want to go with an angel? No, he did not want an angel. That's not his desire. That's what he has to put up with because of the stiff-necked people that he's working with. That's what he said. You have a condition. And he said, that neck needs healing. Do you know that is what the purpose of circumcision is? Sorry for bringing to another level. But to be honest, if you look through the scriptures, it's very clear. Circumcision was meant to reflect sensitivity. That you are very sensitive towards God. Sensitive to really, okay, I sense what he wants. I'll do it. There's a ability to reflect. That's why we in the New Testament are called circumcised of heart. And it means, and the literal understanding of that is we are very sensitive to God. Yeah, come on. We're not hard-hearted. We're not stiff-necked. But the Jews became rebellious, and this is what, and so God's saying, well, I'll deal with them at a level that works with that level of rebellion. That doesn't mean that's what he wants. That's just how he's dealing with them. But often we can confuse with God, what God can make do with, as to what he really wants. Yeah. Hunger will take you from what you can put up with. Yeah. And you know what is good to actually I'm going to push past that. Because I'm hungry for you, God.
Yeah, come on.
I'm hungry, Lord, to know you better. Lord, I'm not satisfied just to say, yeah, that's good, but I want to really know you and your ways. That's the prayer that Paul would pray over the church. He said, look, that people would know him. There's a Greek word for know, which is gnosko. It's got the gnosko. It's actually got the word know in it. That's where we get our English word from this word. Gnosko, to know. To know something is to gnosko it, to know it. If I could interpret that Greek word into English, it would be know. Doesn't it works pretty well. But when Paul prayed for the church, it's like in Ephesians chapter 1. Let me just turn there. When he was praying for them in chapter 1, verse 17, he's praying, so this is my prayer, is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, to know him. But it doesn't use gnosko. It uses epigonosko. Now, epi is the word means it's upon. It's a word to put emphasis on strength. And then if you look up what epigonosko means, it means to really know, to truly know, to fully know. These are some of the definitions it uses. It has to sort of go to two words. Because it's like not just to know, but to really know.
Yeah,
not just to know, but fully know.
Yeah.
Not just to know, but truly know in the essence.
Yeah.
That was what Paul's prayer for them was. That they may truly, fully, really know God.
It.
That the church would get this revelation of who God is, and not just I know God, but really know him. Not just know him, but fully know him. Not just know him, but truly, truly know his heart and his desire and his plans. And I'm telling you now that there are some of the things that God has for you that only hunger will enable you to enter into. Because they are not laid out. It's hunger that brings them out. Okay? It's hunger that will enable you to see things that don't wait till you get to heaven and find out, well, why wasn't I doing that? And God says, I was waiting for you. Well, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you send me a letter? Why didn't you have someone prophesy it? Why didn't you do this? He said, it's the hunger that it's the hunger that enables it. I'm not going to settle for the mess and things. I believe it was that hunger that stopped David. You know, David messed up his life royally. He had a man murdered because of his adultery to try and cover it up. He just got into such a mess. But you look at the difference between Saul and David. King Saul, people said, we want a king, so they gave him Saul. And Saul just messed up royally too. And when Saul was given a mission to go and defeat a certain people, and they was told, don't take any of the spoils, don't kill them all, get rid of the king, this is what you do. And he comes back, and the prophet Samuel comes to Saul, and he goes, I hear the bleating of the sheep, what is this? And Saul's like, oh, it's the people. I said, let's kill them all, but they said, you know what, we should bring these things to, offerings to the Lord. Yeah. You know, they were right. I think they were right. We'll do it that way. And Samuel said to him, Your days are gone. Your days are over. That's it. And when he went, Saul got desperate and grabbed the cloak of Samuel and tore it. And Samuel said, you know what? God's torn this away from you. He's found another one. There's someone else with the heart that God has. I'm talking about David. I believe there was a moment right then. Saul, because, David did terrible things too, but you read Psalm 51, David repented, the most heartful repentance. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore unto me a right spirit. He poured out his heart. And Samuel is about to walk out, and Saul gets desperate, not hungry, desperate. And he grabbed Samuel, and you know what he said to him? Please go with me. So I still look good. Don't leave me to face the elders by myself because that will make me look embarrassed. He said, please go and stand beside me so I'll still look like a king with the support of the prophet. You know what he was concerned about? Looking good. Looking good. What would have happened if he'd fallen on his knees, thrown off his royal garments, and said, I'm not moving from here until I get God's forgiveness. Yeah, wow. He's like, oh, well, as long as I look good, I'm happy at this level. To him, it was just, as long as I look good, as long as people are still honoring me and saying I'm amazing, I can handle this king thing. Yeah, it's coming. And you know what he did? He fought tooth and nail to kill what God had set up in place of him because he became so jealous and enraged against David. Why? Because he was trying to keep his kingdom and his appearance alive. That became his pursuit. His whole life became just let it last another day and I'll do everything I can to get rid of and extend it and push out. But what would have happened if he was like Moses and said, I'm not moving without you, God.
Yeah, come on.
Not happy to move forward.
Yep.
See, there's opportunities to settle. Opportunities to actually get right into the heart and say, God, do whatever it takes. Lord, expose me, deal with me, cleanse me, whatever is needed, I want to move forward with you. And I want you in it. I don't want anything that's at the plateau. I'm just hungry for you. And you know what happens? another plan begins to open up. You suddenly find there's more. There's a plan where he says, you know what? You don't even need Jesus. You don't need, you just use authority and you can do this at a greater level. You know, there's a plan opens up that says, even though I'm being sent to the lost sheep of Israel and I really don't have jurisdiction to minister to a daughter of someone who's Syrophoenician, a plan opened up out of hunger. Opportunity opened up out of hunger. Oh, the house is full. There is no room for healing today. Suddenly, four men's hunger to rip off the roof opened up another plan. That was not on anyone's schedule. You know, the disciples are saying, is this on the run sheet? This is not, this is not part of the plan today. Jesus never said to me today, you know, you're going to do a healing through the roof session. It's, we're in a small house. It's all crowded. This is how it's going to work. If there's going to be healing, it will be done somewhere else. But suddenly it's like, just on your, who's doing this? Who's organizing this? But through the roof hunger meant that another item was added into the agenda for healing and restoration. Hallelujah. You know, there's a plan for your life that when you get hungry, it's like other things get added in.
Yeah, that's good.
I didn't even know that was in the plan. God says, well, it was there, but hunger is what's got to unlock this.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So it's like there's going to be people that say, I did everything, but it's only been a plateau level because they haven't looked for anything beyond that.
Yeah.
And you say, no, God, I want to find the stuff that's not on the, I want to find the hidden stuff there that if I push a little bit harder and move it a little bit deeper, it's there. Yeah. It's waiting to be exposed, but it's hunger. It's a willingness to do that which goes beyond. And I'm not talking about desperation. You know, there was people that, when Peter and John went up to the Samaritans, I believe it was, you know, and because they were receiving God, but none of them were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John went up there, and they started to pray with people, and people were getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and there's a dramatic display. There was a guy up there who was known as the Big Shot, and he's suddenly looking around, wow. And he went to Peter and said, we can do a deal here. That's not the way to get that. It's like silver and gold. No, he said, you and your money can go to hell. I think the Good News Bible says that. Like, nice translation. Not sure if that's right, but one of the, you and your money can go to hell. Or King James, thy money perish with thee. This sounds nicer when you say it in King James, doesn't it? King James has a way of beautiful, nicer, you know. You know, when they open up the tomb, you know, they say, open up the tomb to Lazarus, they go, behold, he stinketh. You know, this sounds better when you say it in King James. But I'm just saying, hunger is not desperation that compromises and tries to get it. Do you know what I mean? You can't get this by bargaining with God.
Yep.
You can't get this by cutting corners.
Yeah, that's it.
You can't get this by trying to put on a show that God's like, ah, oh, I see what's in your heart. Doesn't impress me. You know, there are people who tried to, we saw it in the Rodney Howard Brown meeting. I saw people lie and deceive in order to get to the front row so they get the anointing of God. I saw people in the pastor's line faking pastor's ID so they could get closer. True story. We had our, the pastors would get a special pass. It was on a colored card, red card, I think. And people were copying onto their own red card. And we were standing behind a group of people planning and plotting. And they're all handing out the red cards. And it was like, we'll get in. If anyone gets caught, the rest of us just go around. So at least, you know, most of us will get in, even if one gets caught. Because, you know, they say, we're hungry. That's not hunger.
Yeah.
That's not hunger. That's trying to buy the things of God.
Yeah.
That doesn't... You know what? I think they're doing that because they didn't want the cost of true hunger.
Yeah, that's it. That's really powerful.
They didn't want to pay the real price.
Yeah.
I'll do it a cheap way that God's not looking at my heart and doesn't have to see my attitudes. I'll just try and get up the front, because if sitting up the front, that's enough. And it was funny because you'd see Rodney Howard Brown, he'd pray for people, and I'd see him go and then skip people by the Spirit. He didn't know. Yeah. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have, ha. But it did feel good. It was like, yeah. God knows. God knows. You can fool an usher. Sometimes you can even fool the pastor. But God knows. God knows. And you know what hunger says? Hunger says, I want to be real to the real. I want to be real. I'm hungry. I'll do whatever it costs, and Lord, whatever it's needed. And I don't care. It's not about how good I look. I don't care about if it embarrasses me, and I don't care if I'm exposed a little bit that I'm not what I am meant to be. What I mean is hungry is to be right with you and to be cleansed with you and to be healed with you. I thought about this, you know, Saul, you know, his biggest thing was, go with me. When David was confronted, he wrote a psalm about it, which was his personal repentance. But then he had that psalm sung publicly. You realize what the king was doing? How humiliating for the king to say, everybody, I want you to hear my psalm of repentance publicly. I want this sung by all the people. I want you to know this is how the king responds when he's confronted with his sin. I might not... It might stop me looking all... You know, some people thought... You know, back then, you got to realize people thought the king was the best thing. And he's suddenly realizing, I am exposing the fact that I need to repent. But here is my song of repentance, and I want everybody to sing it and know it. Because this is what we do, people. What a different response. What a different response. Not just repentance. Public repentance.
Yeah, come on.
Wow. Why? Because he was hungry to keep that relationship with God.
Yeah.
He wanted to keep moving. And when God spoke about him, when Paul preached about him, he referred to David. Now, well, let's just do this. We'll finish with this. Book of Acts, I think it's chapter 13. If you think, wow, what a memory. Oh, it's because I looked it up before, all right? And I'm like, oh, Acts 13. He knows where all the scriptures are. You know, when we're doing the worship, where is that scripture? Not where I looked for it, actually. Okay. Full disclosure. I thought it was in Stephen's sermon, and it wasn't there. Ah, it's in Paul's. That's why I know it was in Acts 13. Verse 21, they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And after he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom God testified. Wow. How good to have God's testimony. It says, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. New International Commentary, New Testament, says about this phrase, a man after my heart, is literally this, a man who is all that my heart could desire. Wow. But David sinned, yeah. And Psalm 51 shows his hunger to not settle at that point. Settle as a failure, settle as a broken, defeated man, but to receive the grace and the forgiveness of God so God could say, that's my king. And it says, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. New English translation, who will accomplish everything I want him to do.
Yeah.
Or Passion translation, who will accomplish all that I have destined to do.
Yeah.
What a testimony to David. Passionate, hungry, wanting the presence of God, wanting everything. Why don't you stand with me? You say, you know what my hunger means? I say, thank you, but no thank you. I'm not going to settle. Hallelujah. Turn to the person next to you and say, thank you, but no thank you. Because I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Because I'm hungry. I'm hungry to... Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I am hungry. I'm hungry to see God glorified in my life and through me. I'm hungry to see all that God has destined for me fulfilled. I'm hungry to see me step up into areas that people would even be surprised. You know, Jesus went through that. His family, he went back to his hometown and they said, that's Jesus. Who is he? Who is he? We know his mother and father. He grew up. We know his brothers and sisters. They were offended that he could be anything more than Jesus who grew up in Nazareth. They couldn't see that he was actually the Messiah because their offense blocked them. And there's going to be people that just cannot get hold. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You're called of God. And you've got to be ready to say, I'm not settling into that plateau that has been set for me. You know, they say, we've seen your failures. We've seen your mistakes. We've seen your sin. There's a nice little plateau. Why don't you just rest there? God is happy now. And you say, thank you, but no thank you. I'm not settling at the point that's going to make you happy. I'm not settling at a place that is, you know, reasonable considering my background and my education and my family and my, you know, the things that I've been blessed with and my abilities. Yeah. And, you know, my mistakes and my failures and the fact that I was a bit, you know, I didn't get onto God as early as I should have, you know, and I wasted all these years. So this plateau sort of reflects probably where I should be. You say, thank you, but no thank you. No, because I'm hungry and I know there's more. I know there's something more. Hallelujah. I know there's something more. I know there's something more. God, and I know there's a whole lot more about you. You think you know God? Just say, God, I have got knowledge of you, but I want real knowledge. I'm hungry to take that knowledge up. I want to get to know your heart. I want to get to know how you work. I want to get to know the things that please you. I want to get to know you, Lord. I want to push past the things that I've learned and get to know you even better. Hallelujah. Thank you, but no thank you. I'm not staying here. Because I'm hungry, God. There's more. I sense it. I'm aware of it. I'm yearning for it. I'm going to push into it. Hallelujah. What does it look like? Well, you won't know until you just get hungry and just get in the face of God. Just see what opens up. See what God shows you. See what happens. What does it look like? I don't know. You'll find out because God will begin to meet you in that hunger and give you opportunities and things to do. And he'll suddenly nudge you and say, go do that. And you say, oh, I couldn't do that. I thought you were hungry. I thought you were hungry. Oh, hang on a second. I was meaning just a bit better than me, not Kenneth Copeland level. God says, I thought you were hungry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot more that's just not even made evident to you, but hunger will bring it out. Hallelujah. Hunger will bring it out. Hunger will bring it out. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.